Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll move on in our study to look at a few of the verses of Quran chapter 15, which is a Meccan chapter, which contains 99 verses. Beginning in verse 2, we read, "Perhaps those who became infidels wish that they were Muslims." And I don't understand how Allah starts that verse by the word perhaps. You mean Allah does not know for sure if the infidels will wish to be a Muslim or not? That is an amazing way of how Allah speaks throughout the pages of the Quran. Now let's move on to verse 6, where we have a repeated scenario we read throughout the pages of the Quran. That is, people say that Muhammad was demon-possessed. Or Muhammad defend himself by saying, "I am not demon-possessed." Even Allah himself will declare in the words of the Quran that Muhammad is not demon-possessed. Here is what is stated in Quran chapter 15, verse 6. "And they said," and they here are the infidels of Quraysh, "O you to whom the reminder has been sent down on." They are here pointing to Muhammad, who received the Quran, which he called the reminder. "Surely you are demon-possessed." The following verse we read, "Why do you not bring to us angel if you were among the truthful?" Obviously, the infidels of Quraysh here were not just simply asking for Muhammad to bring an angel, but to perform a miracle or to show a sign to prove to them that he is a true messenger of Allah. And that is also a repeated theme throughout the Quran, where every time they ask for a specific miracle, Allah answered by saying, "No, we're not going to do that." As we read in verse 8, "We will not send down the angels except with the truth." And they were not then delayed. Let's look at another verse in the Quran from which we also learn that the people in Muhammad day thought that he was demon-possessed, as it is written in Quran chapter 34 and verse 46. For there we read, "Say, surely I only preach you one thing, that you would stand up for Allah by twos and individually. Then you think what is in your companion is of the jinn." The same word jinn here is the word we use for demon. As we will be looking in the next broadcast to the subject of the creation of the jinn and the angels. Moving on to Quran chapter 37 and verse 36, where we also read, "And they say," and they here are the infidels of Quraysh, those who did not believe in Muhammad, "are we forsaking our God to a demon-possessed poet?" Here they are talking about Muhammad to be demon-possessed. Once again, in Quran chapter 44 and verse 14, we read, "Then they," these are the infidels of Quraysh, "turned away from him," him here is Muhammad, "and they said, a demon-possessed teacher." That is exactly how the people of Quraysh thought of Muhammad to be a demon-possessed teacher. Now, in Quran chapter 52 and verse 29, Allah here is the one who's speaking to Muhammad. That is when Allah stated, "So, remind by the grace of your Lord, you are not a kahin," which is a non-Arabic word from Aramaic origin, means so seer, "nor demon-possessed." Amazing that Allah knows what the people of Christ think of Muhammad, and Allah is defending his prophet Muhammad by assuring the believers, those who believe in the Quran, that Muhammad was not demon-possessed. Once again, in Quran chapter 68 and verse 2, Allah speaking on the behalf of Muhammad, defending him, declaring that he is not demon-possessed. That is, as we read, "You by the grace of your Lord are not a demon possessed. Finally, in Quran chapter 81 and verse 22, Allah himself once again repeat the defense to his prophet Muhammad by declaring to his people that he is not demon possessed, as we read, and your companion is not a demon possessed. I'm amazed why Allah puts throughout the Quran that Muhammad is not demon possessed, defending his messenger. Why people said that Muhammad is demon possessed? Maybe if we study the description of Muhammad when he used to receive his revelation, the miracle of Islam, the Quran, we will find out that in reality, Muhammad was demon-possessed. We're talking about the sweat and the rolling of the eyes and the foaming of the mouth and the hearing of the sound of the bells, the redness of the face and the heaviness of the body and the hearing of the sound of the bees by his face. These are all descriptions of someone who is demon possessed, or simply because Muhammad was not a true prophet at all. Even when they asked him to perform any miracle to prove that he's a prophet, he did not. All what Muhammad gave them is simply poetry, and that poetry was loaded with many errors. The Jewish people know what he was copying from the Old Testament, and they figure out all the errors he have in his poetry. So is the Christians. As a matter of fact, I see that all the people who lived in Muhammad days can know without any doubt he is not a prophet. He is not a messenger. He does not have any fruit, even of his own personal life, to tell the world that he is a prophet or a messenger from Allah or any God. So now they come up with the idea that he was just a poet, that he is just demon possessed. And Allah went on and on and on, as we have read throughout the pages of the Quran, to defend Muhammad and say, no, he is not demon possessed. He is just a wonderful warner or a messenger without any evidence besides, once again, the ridiculous poetry of the Quran, which is loaded with many errors. Now let's move on to another important fact we can read about from the Quran about the Bible, and that is that the Bible cannot be changed. The Bible is the perfect word of Allah, not because we believe in Allah to be God, but that's because Muslims do. And here is what Allah said in verse 9 of Quran chapter 15, surely we send down the reminder, and surely we will be its keeper. If Allah is the one who is watching over his word, and if Allah is the one who is protecting his word, that means the Bible cannot be changed. As also read in Quran chapter 16, verse 43, and we do not send before you any except men that we inspired. So ask the people of the reminder, these are the Jews and the Christians, if you were not knowing. And we have talked about that very important subject before in many other verses of the Quran. So we move on in our study to look at. Now in Quran chapter 15, verses 16, 17, 18, we learn about the creation of the heavens and how Satan and his demons sneak up to Allah's heaven. So let's read these three verses together. For there we read, and indeed we have made the heavens burujan. Now the word burujan is a non-Arabic word from a Latin origin, which means constellations, and beautified it to the beholders. In verse 17, and we kept it from every stoned Satan. Verse 18, except those who eavesdrop. So they are followed by a visible flame. In his interpretation to these verses, the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari stated that Allah made in the heaven of this world houses for the sun and the moon and the stars, which the sun and the moon come down to. Obviously, as we know from the Quran, that Allah teaches that the earth does not move, but the sun and the moon travel around the earth. And there are specific places where the sun and the moon travel to every day as they go around the earth. Also, Al-Tabari stated that Allah decorated the heaven with the stars for those who look upon it. Al-Tabari continued to interpret verse 17 when Allah said, "And we kept it from every stoned city." That means Allah kept the heaven of this world from every cursed Satan and every stoned Satan, especially those who would like to hear what is going on in heaven.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
So when these demons tried to go up to heaven to hear the conversation between Allah and his angels, I guess, then Allah will send on them visible flame. Obviously, this is what we call the shooting star, as stated by Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad, which is followed by a list of many names. We end with Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, who said, "The devils ascend in groups, eavesdropping." He said, "Then the rebellious one separates himself from them, and a meteor is shot at him, striking his forehead or his side or wherever Allah wills on him, and he becomes inflamed. Then he comes to his companions while he's flaming, and they said, 'Indeed, such and such happened.' He said, 'Then those people," he meant obviously the demons here, "will go to their brethren among the priests, and they will add to him the lies many times over, and they will tell them about it. Then if they see something of what they said, they will believe them and what they brought them of lies." And to prove our point that Allah and Muhammad got the creation of the stars and the stoning of the demons who would love to go up to heaven and hear what's going on there is not just a misunderstanding to Quran chapter 15 and verses 16 through 18, but it's also a repeated message in Quran chapter 67 and verse 5. For there we read, "And indeed, we adorned the heaven of the world with lamps and made them to be missiles for the Satans, and we prepared for them the torment of the blaze." Listen to the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, for he stated, "Allah created the stars and he made it to be light to shine on the world, and he made these stars as missiles for the Satans," as he quoted Sana' Yazid, Sana' Sa'id, and Qatada, who stated that Allah adorned the heaven of the earth with these lamps, and he made it missiles for Satan. For Allah created these stars for three reasons. The first reason, it is an adornment to the heaven of the earth. The second reason, it is missiles to the Satan. And the third reason, it is a sign by which people can be guided, those who travel And anyone who will come up with other interpretation for why Allah created the stars, Al-Tabari assured us that he would be wrong and he has no knowledge of what he's talking about. As he ended that verse by stating that Allah prepared for the Satans the torment of the blaze, and that will be their punishment in the end of time. Now we ask the question, how did Muhammad come up with this idea? It's very simple. If you are living in the desert of the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, and at night you are looking at the sky, you can see this burning fire, which we call here shooting stars. So Muhammad used his imagination and he made up the story about demons trying to go up to heaven so they can hear what Allah and the angels are saying. And that's why Allah used these stars to shoot them, burn them, to stop them from eavesdropping on what's going on in heaven. When in reality, any person who has knowledge or common sense can figure out exactly what is the shooting star. The shooting star is also known as a meteor. It's a streak of light that appears in the night sky when dust particles from comets enter Earth's atmosphere and burn up. There is no demons or angels or missiles, as Muhammad used his imagination. And here I'd like to share with you what the psalmist David said in Psalm 19 about the heavens, for he stated, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork." Notice that David did not write about neither the angels, nor the demons, nor the missiles which are created in heaven to hinder the devil and his angels from hearing what is going on in heaven. We simply believe that God created the heaven to show his majesty, and there is no power of any demons to go up to heaven and to hear what God and his angels are saying. Now let me share with you another huge error in the great poetry of the Quran concerning the nature of the earth, and that Muhammad taught that the earth is flat throughout the pages of the Quran. For example, in Quran chapter 15 and verse 19, we read, "And the earth, we spread it out and tossed on it stabilizers, and we planted in it from every weighted thing." Now for the statement, "we spread it out," meaning the earth, all Muslim scholars are in agreement that the earth is flat. As a matter of fact, I'm amazed that some Muslims today actually mock the idea that the earth is a sphere. And some claim this is just simply a lie used by the infidels of the West just to make Muslims disbelieve in the Quran. In one interview, a lady told Muhammad Saleh, a famous man who already left Islam some years ago, that if they will teach the truth about the earth is flat, the whole world will accept Islam. But because the people of the West are lying to the Muslims all over the world and telling them that the earth is a sphere, they make Muslims doubt the truth of the word of Allah, which 100% teaches that the earth is flat. Let me share with you some other verses of the Quran to point that the earth is flat. For example, if we go together to Quran chapter 50 and verse 7, Muhammad repeats the same verse which we have read in 15:19 almost word by word. "For there we read, and the earth we have spread it out and have thrown the stabilizers on it and have caused plants to grow in it from every beautiful pair." Once again, the only difference here is the last two words, but the scholar's interpretation to the words "and the earth we have spread it out," meaning Allah made it flat. By the way, the stabilizers, which we read about in Quran chapter 15 verse 19 and in Quran chapter 50 verse 7, are the mountains. As scholars assured us, when Allah created the earth first, it did not have any mountains, just simply flat piece of land. And the earth sat on the back of a well, which is known by Muslim scholar to be Nun. And when that well sneezed, the earth shook. That's why Allah created the stabilizers, which are the mountains, and he spread it all over the earth to stop the earth from shaking. Another word Allah used in the description of the creation of the earth in the Arabic language is Daha, as he stated in Quran chapter 79 and verse 30, which states, and after that he flattened the earth, as stated by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, when he stated Daha, meaning Basataha, meaning flatten it. Similar to that, the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalain when he stated وَالْأَرْضْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا بَسَطَهَا, and the earth after that he make it flat. And that's one of the reasons why we do not believe in Muhammad to be a prophet, nor in the Quran to be the word of God. For how can God make such great error by teaching that the earth is flat, or Allah flattened it by his own hand after he created the heavens? That goes not only against the teaching of the Bible, but also goes against nature, as we scientifically today can prove that the earth is not flat and it does not sit on the back of any whale, no matter how large that whale is. As we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 22, it is he who sets above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. That is what is written by prophet Isaiah a good 700 years before Christ. That is almost 1400 years before Muhammad was a gleam in his father's eye. Isaiah got it right and Muhammad got it wrong. The earth is not flat. Allah did not flatten it. Even if Muslims will continue to repeat these lies, the earth is still a sphere, as the scripture declares. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.